sure do appreciate the humble prayer that is public prayer that's been offered, and have an interest in your continuing to pray that the Lord might bless us while we would try to speak in your presence. Trust that we be led by the Spirit, led of the Spirit of the Lord, and do need your prayers at this hour. And I've just thoroughly have enjoyed the day of even anticipating even before today, but of coming up this way and not having met at this particular meeting house, and many of you not having met before, but it's been a sweet time of fellowship in the Lord, and just have enjoyed it much. And Brother Chuck, I thank him so much for us, he and his family, for their kind hospitality, and I just thoroughly enjoyed visiting with him and his children and his wife at their home, and him for having the logistical arrangements of picking me up and so forth to make sure that we've had this. It's been a real delight to meet with you here. Some thoughts on my mind, and you pray that the Lord, that I be led of God's Spirit. I have some things on my mind to speak on, and it's not. I've got a couple of subjects, and so that can be encouragement to me. It can sometimes be discouraging. I think the Lord will just have one road to travel, and I pray that that I can follow the leadership of the Spirit of the Lord. And I want to talk about the things that I would, and I trust to be of the Lord, that would be most that thing that in my estimation, my understanding of human of history, the greatest event that this old world has ever experienced. Our Lord and Savior condescending down to the lowest state of man, coming down to the lowland of sorrow, and culminating with the crucifixion. And that means so much to us in the church now. Even the ornaments in the church, they point back to that accomplished work. Baptism, we went out here. I just enjoyed looking and walking around the grounds, and we went to the fellowship hall, and it's just been a wonderful experience. But that, as we call it, the liquid grave out there, the baptismal pool out there, you know, that typifies our Lord and Savior, that the death, burial, and the resurrection. You see, that's what we do. And when we come to the communion table, that's what it's pointing towards, you know. We're looking backward, but that's what it's pointing towards. And the completed work. The death, burial, and resurrection. And you know, one of the songs we sing sometimes is, "It is finished. He accomplished the mission. And proclaimed on the cross, it is finished." And I would like to, I would like to just visit with the Lord, if you will, hanging on the cross, on the tree. He redeemed us on the cross. A passage that's in my mind here is begin reading in the Gospel of Luke, and maybe you know, on the tree there were seven utterances that are recorded that he made while hanging on the cross. I want to look at those. We won't be able to go into all of them, but I want to look at that. There were seven statements that our Lord and Savior uttered hanging on the tree. Peter would say, on the cross. We don't know. They're not just like 1, 2, 3 verses consecutive, one after the other. But you have to move around a bit, and I hope not to be a burden on your time or your patience, but you can, through the Gospels, by the grace of God, you can find them, you know, in this. And there are seven utterances is what I would say, that the Lord made while hanging on the tree. Now, I think I have the order in which they occurred, but that's not terribly important, I don't think. We do know, surely there were seven statements made from the cross. And I think I have the order down, if the Lord will be my helper. And I want to just read those seven statements from the cross. Before I read that, I want to read first Peter's statement in 1 Peter chapter 2. And I just want to read this in verse 23 and 24. Peter would write, who, he's referring to Jesus now, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? He's referring to Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. On the tree. On the tree. Elsewhere it says the dead tree, referring to the cross. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Himself. In the book of Hebrews it says, by himself purged, took away, separated. The psalmist would say, as far as the east is from the west, separated our sins from us. In the eyes of God, I know we still struggle with it day to day, but the victory is plain. We sung a song about the victory. It's completed. Oh, Satan has buffeted us for a while, but he's like a big dog you have in the backyard on a chain. He's on about, I'd say, 8 or 10 foot, and he just runs it. He'll make you think he's going to destroy you, but he's really a defeated foe. Amen. He can aggravate you if you get close to him, but he's defeated. He's subdued. He's just loosened for a season. I want you to know, Jesus declared he had taken all of the sting out of death, and the grave does not have the victory. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. On the tree. I want to talk about those statements he made while hanging on the tree. Now I'm going to, I beg of your patience with me a bit, but I want to just read those seven statements that he uttered while hanging on the tree. And they are found in the Gospels, and I'm going to spend most of the time maybe in the book of Luke and Matthew. And I'll just go through that. I just want to read those statements. And I believe the order in which I will present these, I believe that's the order they were uttered. You can't just try to consecutive verse by verse. But they're there. And the order may not be right, but I think we have it. And in the book of Luke, Luke's Gospel, the 23rd chapter, and I'll just begin at the 34th verse, or the 33rd verse. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Now verse 34 is the first one. I believe this is the order. Then said Jesus, he's on the cross now. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. I'm going to skip down in the same chapter. I'm going to skip down about 10 verses to verse 42. I think this 42 and 43 encompasses his second statement on the cross. We'll remember this. Verse 42. Luke 23, 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I believe that was a statement. We remember that two thieves, one on either side. And we remember that they both railed on him early on. And then there was a change. The one would proclaim, Lord, remember me when I come into thy kingdom. And I like what the Lord responded. I want to read these seven. But I want to say this here. He didn't put it off to sometime in the future. He's a right now God, isn't he? He didn't say, you will surely be me after the general resurrection. He said today. He's a right now God. Today, thou shalt be me in paradise. Right now, today. They were in the process of dying, you see. Ain't it good? Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, I must run. I'd like to talk on that more, but I must hasten. I would go to the third statement, I believe, is over in the book of John, chapter 19. And I'm going to be reading between John, chapter 19, and also Luke, chapter 23. The third statement, I believe, is John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27. Here, listen to it. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, already been done. It's finished. Now, don't carry anger. Forgive. Oh, you've been so sweet, and I appreciate your kindness. And may the Lord bless you, is my prayer.